Bob, good morning.
Good morning, Nathaniel.
Now, Bob, you came across this phenomenon while rereading the famous 1964 book, I, the Aboriginal. Can you explain how that led you to this point?
Well, I'd been familiar with that book. That's the ghost-written biography, if you like, by a very famous author, Douglas Lockwood, and of a man by the name of Philip Wipledunya Roberts, who was a very well-regarded Aboriginal man from the Roper River region in the Northern Territory. And part of that book, which tells a really big story, he was a traditional doctor and an advisor to Commonwealth governments, etc., etc. But part of that book talks about his experience and his observations of these, what we call fire-spreading raptors, in and around his country in the southeast of the Northern Territory. And he related this story about having seen birds swoop down at a fire front, and there are big fires here because there's big open grasslands and open forests, swoop down at a fire front, pick up a burning stick, and then carry it away and drop it on unburnt grass and then start another fire, so spreading the fire. So I was interested in that story. I'd read it many years ago and then reread it in about 2011. And because I was working in the same area that Philip Roberts was talking about, I went out and, you know, started talking to people, and they told me stories that were consistent with that, and also said, well, look, we've seen it as well. Not only that, but there was, you know, other research, and their confirmation said, look, this behavior turns up in Aboriginal ceremonies where people basically play the part of the bird of prey. So, you know, I kept digging, I kept finding out more information, I kept talking to more people. I gave a couple of conference presentations. I run a crikey blog called The Northern Myth and put some stories up there. And people started to come to me, not just Aboriginal people, but non-Aboriginal people, fire managers, linguists, anthropologists, great, you know, pastoral workers, all started to come to me and say, yes, I've seen this too. So with my colleague Mark Bonta from the US, we got together a few years ago and thought, well, let's have a closer look at this. And that's where how we ended up with this paper that was published in the Journal of Ethnobiology late last year.
Right. Now, it seems so bizarre that birds are dropping flaming items to the ground. What compels them to do this?
Well, we don't know. Intentionality in a non-speaking species like birds is always difficult to work out. So you have to try to extrapolate it from what you see and what the results are. So what we understand it to be is that where a fire might be burning down, so it might have run out of fuel, or it might have been put out by firefighters, then the birds will pick up the burning sticks, carry them to unburnt ground so that the fire can start again, you know, can spread. And of course, what happens in these fires is they're usually in quite dense, heavy, dry fuel loads in grassland. That's quite thick grass. And these fires are very hot. They burn very quickly. And at the front of these fires, typically what you see is a lot of insects, a lot of small birds, a lot of lizards, a lot of snakes fleeing from the front of the fire. And then immediately behind the fire, there are dead insects and birds and snakes and lizards and frogs that are caught and cooked by the fire. So there's the animals fleeing in front of the fire that are easy prey, and some of them are affected by the smoke. for the birds, and often there are hundreds of birds, often black kites, hanging around these fires to pick off, you know, the animals and insects that are fleeing from the front. There's also, after the fire's gone, maybe that later that day or the next day, there are a lot of birds that come in and pick over that burnt ground for dead animals and so forth.
Seems a very brutal hunting technique. Is it a completely unique technique to these particular birds?
Look, we're not aware of any other similar behaviour in any other animals. There are three species of Australian birds that we have records of, and that's the brown falcon, which is a small specialist lizard and snake killing bird. And the black kite, which is found widespread across particularly northern Australia, but you do get it in the south. But there are close relatives of the black kite that are found throughout Southeast Asia, the Asian subcontinent, and also into Africa. So one thing we're interested in is whether this behaviour occurs anywhere else. But certainly we've not heard of it anywhere apart from with these birds.
If you've just joined us on The Daily this morning, we're speaking with Bob Gosford, who's a lawyer and researcher based in Alice Springs, about fire-carrying birds in the Northern Territory. Now, Bob, Indigenous people in the Northern Territory have been aware of these fire-dropping birds for a very long time, and they even credit them with their own discovery of fire. How important is their obviously deep knowledge of the Australian ecosystem in our future management of it?
Well, there's a couple of things. One, I think we can learn more about, you know, the relationship between Aboriginal people and birds, and there's a long history to that. And I've worked on that elsewhere in other parts of the Northern Territory in Australia, and there's a lot that we don't know that Aboriginal people do know that I think maybe valuable for science. And I've talked at many conferences about this. The other aspect is that this current research we're doing into fire spreading birds may provide some clues or raise questions about the history of fire in the Australian landscape. Now, some people say humans learnt how to use fire from the birds. Now, we don't know if that's true or not. It's most likely impossible to sort of work out, but it's a belief that some people have. And I think it's sort of part of a broader exercise. Increasingly over many years, there's been a realisation that the valorisation, respect for Indigenous knowledge, particularly in somewhere like Australia where there are so many languages and people were so closely bound, if you like, to managing their land, I think there's a lot of opportunities there to learn things that if we just think within, you know, an open quote, scientific, close quote, you know, a Western scientific set of paradigms, then we may be missing out on a lot. And I'm very interested in exploring some of those aspects.
Right. Now, you and a colleague of yours, Dr. Mark Bonter, are planning to a research expedition to the Northern Territory in February. What are you hoping? Yep.
Sorry, go on.
Oh, sorry, what are you hoping to achieve with this research expedition?
Well, I don't know about an expedition. We're not going on camels or anything. We'll just go in cars. But certainly it's a fieldwork trip. We've done several of them before through, you know, this sort of fire country in the Northern Territory. And this time we'll be going to near Tennant Creek and to Central Arnhem Land. And we're going to be working with Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal fire managers, and we're hoping that we can go to some fires, maybe record this behavior if we're lucky enough, so that we can catch it on film, because so far we don't have it on film. And I think that would be very exciting if we can record some film that shows a bird or birds or many birds picking up sticks and carrying them and dropping them and then a new fire starting. I think that would be tremendously exciting, and I really do look forward to that. But there are other aspects of our work we also want to build on. We want to understand more about how some of these fires work, what sort of birds, what species of birds hang around fires, so what species are there when the fire is active, and then also look at what species of birds are there after the fire's gone through. What kind of things they're eating, how long they spend there, etc., etc.
Right, well, there's a lot of exciting things to learn. Bob, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Nathaniel, and it's been great to have the opportunity to speak to you. And if readers want to get in touch or to find more information, they can go to my Crikey blog, The Northern Myth, or I'm pretty easy to look up. Or you can just send me an email to bgosford@gmail.com, and I'd be more than happy to answer any queries, or if people have observed this behaviour, I'd be really happy to talk to them about that. So thank you for the opportunity to talk about our work.
Thank you for joining us.